Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jimmy, JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to This Just In on Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Relic can join us.
It's so refreshing that we start, not just start a podcast, but we're going to probably end the podcast with Relic, with Jimmy Brennan actually in the pod for the first time in a while, I think.
Have you seen my baseball, Dubs? What movie was that from?
I don't know.
About Mary.
Yeah. Oh, God. What road are we going down? I don't either.
You don't remember that part?
No.
Or who I'm talking about? Remember the guy with the headphones?
Oh, fuck off, Jimmy.
Is that the...
Warren.
Twigs and Berries, that one?
Yeah.
Twigs and Berries. Captain Amy Walsh joins us live from across the Atlantic at 30,000 feet. And Craig's here, Craig Forrest. JC is here. I'm Shams. No, Wunga Wunga is still in Dominican. As we understand it, he'll be back on the soil on Wednesday, but probably not on the podcast.
Soiled.
He may be soiling himself.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be some stories, aren't there?
Yeah.
So we just like designate Friday's show purely to Wonga and his Dominican stories, because there's going to be a lot.
What virus does he have?
Mm-hmm. Or doesn't have much easier.
He's definitely coming back sick.
Wonger's trip to the Dominican. It all went wrong.
What could possibly go wrong?
There you go.
Do you think he got sick on vacation, or he got sick on the plane coming back from vacation?
Plane.
You reckon?
I'll say the taxi there.
We should get Tony Bett. Actually, they might do this for us. Give us some odds when Wonga got sick.
If Wonger's anything like me, and I know that we do share a leg or two, I always get sick on the third day and then sick for a couple days and then on the way back, sick again. So it's like I'm going to guess he's been sick, but the worst is yet to come.
Well, let's hope so, shall
Fingers
we?
Crossed.
It's like ringing in the new year.
JC's got the gout. I know the audience want to hear this. Usually it's Wonga who complains about the gout, but JC's just been diagnosed with having the gout in his ankle, of all places.
So here's a very unpopular thing, and Amy, you'll hate me for this, but apparently 26% of women who have given natural childbirth say that gout is more painful than natural childbirth. 26%.
I believe that.
Yeah. Apparently it's... there it is. And I get it. I get it. I didn't say it. I'm just reading what I read.
I didn't say anything. Oh, I feel terrible for you that you have gout, especially since it's you.
Oh, thanks.
Anybody else, I'd chime in with your statistic about women who've given birth and giving gout or putting it on the same level, but it's okay. We'll just let that stay there.
Okay.
Well, listen, the whole childbirth complaints is all a bit much, isn't it, really? Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's over in a flash.
And look at the reward at the end of it.
It's a bit over the top, isn't it?
Kids are overrated.
No, I'm sure it's very painful. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's very painful, having witnessed it. It looks awful. I don't know why you do it to yourself. I have no idea.
I mean, gout. God.
Just stop.
Gout, yeah. Gout.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. We won the parlay this weekend.
Yeah.
$88 we recouped from a $5 bet. How about that?
Wow. My coffin is going to be gold plated.
No, there's no more coffin. This is just going to your computer and to your Wi-Fi.
Yes, computer file.
Yes.
I'm trying to see. Did the... I'm wondering if our supporters group also won. Bear with me.
They did.
They did win too. That's right. Okay. Betting history. Mm-hmm. I'll find out exactly. Let's go through the bet, shall we?
Yes, let's make fun of all the Stevens.
Okay. So, Watford beat Chesterfield. Watford beat Couch. The Couch, as they're known on Footy Prime.
Yeah.
Fulham beat Rotherham. Maidstone United. This is a weird one, wasn't it? This is a weird one. Maidstone beat Stevenage. Not one of us questioned that bet when it was made. Because it's a plus 500.
Yep.
There was no chance Maidstone could win that game.
But even Tony Bet, when they posted our parlay, they had it as minus. The same odds, but minus instead of plus. But that is not why I made that bet. I just hated the Stevens, and I wanted to stick it to the Stevens, which is what Maidstone did. Yeah.
Yeah,
that paid off.
Dubs has some history with a Steven.
Apparently. It just struck me as a good bet, and I'm glad I went with my gut. This is teaching me all kinds of lessons about betting, but also life.
We also got Ipswich beating Wimbledon. but yeah, sometimes the bookies get it wrong, right? They get the odds wrong. It happens every weekend. It's the great gamblers. That's why they pay such close attention to all the books. What is the one that's a little bit odd here? And that was the one. And then they changed the odds to plus, and they helped us go to a plus 1,673. So $5 won us $88.70.
Wow.
Which is incredible. That's huge. As for our wonderful supporters group, they also won. More. Let's be honest. They won $17. Like, come on. Come on, guys.
Really?
$17. What are you playing for?
You won one fucking bet and now you're up on your soapbox.
Gambling. Wow. They're so brave. They got Inter Milan. They got Watford. They got the Blades and they got Chelsea. So yeah. That was odds of plus 242. $5 won $17. Sorry, and 10 cents, I should mention. So yeah, thanks for that, supporters club. But we'll take the $88 and stick that in our back pocket, shall we? All right. So yeah, good weekend for us.
Triple digit winnings.
Amazing. Highest so far, I think, isn't it? So, Craig, yeah, what are the basket? Sorry, Craig?
I won my NFL pool.
You won it?
You did.
Like, you won it over. Really?
Yeah, it was kind of a point system. There's only 55 people in it.
But what?
How much did you win?
55, yeah. Humble
Brag. How much you won?
$1,100.
Woo, nice one.
Oh, look at you.
Awesome. Big time.
You buy yourself a computer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, fucking hell. Give that money back.
Yeah. Need some socks.
To put all your money in.
I had an eight-match parlay going. And on Saturday, I was 4 for 4, including Maidstone. So they offered me a cash out, $5 at $45. So I took it. I took the $45 and I was fortunate because the next day, I forget who it was. I think West Ham, they drew, didn't they? Was it West Ham drew Bristol City?
Yes.
Ooh, drew one, Bristol. One, yeah. Yeah, that one would have screwed me. So I took the cash out and was very happy with that.
And if you got them all right, how much?
Yeah, it would have been like $150 or something.
Oh, so you did well.
Yeah, took that. It's rare. So good weekend. Good weekend for all of us, apart from JC who's got the gout. So excellent. Good weekend of football, too. I just love the FA Cup. I really do. Even when two teams do all they can to kind of shit in it, and then Arsenal, Liverpool, good game in the end. But when I see Arsenal play Liverpool and it's what, purple against white, it just doesn't feel right. Don't you think, no. Craig? I mean, it should be like traditional colors. It's FA Cup.
It looks strange, isn't it? You couldn't make out the numbers on the Arsenal shirts either. I'm not sure how the commentator was managing with that.
Brutal. You couldn't see them at all.
No.
And it has some sort of detail, like a shading on the numbers. Did you see when the camera got a bit closer? But instead of it looking like a shadow box effect, it had the effect of looking like the kit man had made a mistake in this placement of the numbers. Mm-hmm. They were really poor. Looked like a team of Marlon Brandos playing in their undershirts.
The fat Marlon Brandos? Yeah, it's weird. Usually the league and the FA need to approve kit changes, right? And for TV, I mean, Christ, Craig, you've been through. I forget the story now. You told me a story once. You were, I think it was a women's you were doing. Was it Costa Rica or someone? The numbers were like impossible to tell.
Yeah, we've had that a few occasions. It's a lot harder for the actual play-by-play person. You got to go, okay, over to you, Jerry. Good luck.
But they made up for it, I guess, in that second half. Really, in the end, a good game, Jimmy. Arsenal should have been up by a couple of goals in that first half. And Ian Wright, I think he put on Twitter, "We need a killer." That's what he put on there. Can you explain to those that might not understand what that means exactly?
A killer is someone that is clinical in the box, that can win you matches.
And Ian Wright type.
And Ian Wright was like that, where in the match, you wouldn't see him for 85 minutes, and all of a sudden he just pipes up, boom, goal, front of the newspaper. He's celebrating. And you, those kind of strikers used to piss you off because the whole game, you'd be getting the ball, looking for them. They're not moving. They wouldn't make a channel run when they have to. But then in the last minutes, just touch goal. They take all the credit. You get nothing for all the work that you've just done for 90-odd minutes running like a goddamn lunatic. And this fucking guy now is taking all the credit, doing the interviews after the game, the celebrity walking around giving the old wave. Assholes. But that's
who would that be? Who would that be in your history, Jimmy? Was there a player that stands out?
Most of the strikers were like that. Like Crouchy would have been like that. Marlon Harewood, he'd go missing. All of a sudden, boom, he'd just pop in a goal. David Johnson. Hux was kind of like that when he'd drift in and out of games sometimes.
Darren Huckabee?
Yeah, but he was good, man. He could score a lot. He scored a lot of goals.
Excellent player.
I mean, Jesus could be that guy, but he's injured all the time. And
yeah, he is. And then comes back and doesn't quite find his form, does he? They need that because you figure, Dubs, if Arsenal get that player, I don't know who it's going to be. Ivan Toney came back this weekend for Brentford B. He's been rumored for a while now, but with Mbeu, what's his name again? The injured striker for Brentford? I can't think of his name. I have a complete brain cramp here. Mbeumo. And Boyman's out for a while, right? But if they could get an Ivan Toney.
Forgetting.
What's that?
So we don't blame you for forgetting.
Bit of a stretch there, Dubs. Bit of a stretch.
I know. Yeah. I was trying to help you out.
I appreciate the effort. But, I mean, if they could get that player in January, I mean, I don't know who's available, but would that make them top contenders? From what you've seen in the last few weeks, they've dropped a lot of points in the Prem. Are they still a contender?
Yeah,
I think. Oh, do you go ahead, Craig?
No, I think they are, Dubs. I think the problem. There's a lot of really good things that are happening at Arsenal. The team looks really good for large parts, even against the Liverpool game. You know, they could have put that thing to bed in the first half. So, would have made it. They are a title contender. I do believe that, and I think they do need some help. Again, the West Ham game was another game where they really outchanced West Ham by a lot, and they just could not find the back of the net. Goalkeeper played well, Areola, but all in all, this is becoming a theme for Arsenal.
Yeah, you're right.
And
but go ahead, Amy.
I was just going to say the longer it goes on, the more the frustration sets in, and then the more I think Arteta tries to get involved to try to affect change and force the change. And the setup that they had in that game, Klopp even mentioned it took them by surprise. playing with Havertz and Odegaard almost as two number 10s, and the way that they press and the way that they work together collectively, it really threw Liverpool off. And Arsenal were really on the front foot, and they just missed that clinical edge. And is it one lone player? I'm not sure. I just think it's something that's sort of insidious at this point, where it's infected the entire squad, where no one has that belief in the final third. It seems all a little bit hesitant. They certainly had the occasions. They had that Odegaard shot that went off the bar, and the Ibu block right before that, that sort of saved their bacon for Liverpool. They had that great chance with the long ball from the keeper that found its way in between the young center back and Trent. So Liverpool looked really like they were under duress, and Liverpool just lacked that edge. And so that's one win for them in their last six, and they've only managed five goals in those games. So there's clearly something at work here. I don't know if getting that player, getting that number nine that they feel like they need, somebody who's going to come in and just sort of grab the team by the scruff of its neck in terms of goal scoring, if that's going to work. I'm not sure if it does.
Yeah. Do you know, I think what ends up happening too in the dressing room, frustration sets in, where you're playing matches and you're controlling games. You have a lot of chances. You've had more chances than what the opposition's had. They had more bigger chances than what the opposition's had, and you just can't score. So five goals in five matches, in the last five matches for Arsenal, is not good enough. That's not winning you a championship. And that's where Ian Wright's going back to, saying it's not that we're not playing well. We're playing well. We're moving the ball. We're getting these chances, but we need that individual who's that killer in the box who can just finish these chances that you're getting. And good team finish these opportunities.
What is more frustrating for a room? Is it a team that just cannot score goals, or a team that just cannot defend? Is it one that just irks a team more? Obviously, they're going to both piss you off, Craig, but which one's more frustrating for the group?
Or I'd rather live with the guys who can't put it in the back of the net.
Yeah, all day long.
Really? Hey, Jimmy. Everybody being a defender, you're like, no, we're okay with the defensive side of things being tight. But you're giving up soft goals and you're not scoring goals, then you really got a problem.
Yeah.
But you also have to look at Arsenal. I agree with that, by the way, 100%. But the way that Arsenal were unable to capitalize on a back line that looked uncertain, a back line that was really thrown by a lack of a Virgil van Dijk and his presence in there. The analyst kept going on about Trent's misgivings as a defender, but Arsenal were still unable to capitalize. So that's on them, right? And then they fixed it, I think, as a team in terms of their shape and the way that they were knitted together, more cohesive in the second half. I think it helped going forward that they sorted things out as well. They moved Nunez over to that left flank and Gakpo more central, put Diaz over on the right, dropped Harvey Elliott into the midfield. It just seemed to sort things out going forward. They were more like Liverpool. So it was a more wide open game in the second half. And Arsenal, but just let all those chances and all of that great work in the first half was gone.
Virgil was sick.
It's not a crisis just yet. So fingers crossed there. Obviously Matip out, so you don't want that to continue. But I mean, if you're criticizing Trent's defensive abilities, I mean, at this point, I think you're splitting hairs, aren't you? I mean, what he provides with the ball at his feet now, Craig, there's no one in the league that does what he does. He's having an incredible season. And whether he's a right back or a midfielder, probably going to be more midfielder, I think, as his career progresses. Mm-hmm. I think you just, so what? He's not great defensively, but what he provides elsewhere, he is so worthwhile.
Yeah, it's a typical example of somebody who sets their standards at a certain level, and everybody want to hold them there at those standards, right? So they look, they nitpick, they certainly look and dissect his game, whether, you know, offensively and defensively. And yeah, sometimes he shows a weakness defensively, but yeah, he's an outstanding left sided. Like, well, actually, he was playing left side, wasn't he? Yesterday, did he play left side of three?
He actually finished the game as a number six.
as a number six, yeah.
But it was he was playing right, kind of starting right fullback and then sort of
right fullback,
into midfield as he does, yeah.
It's what he does basically. When they have the ball, he moves into midfield, right? And then right. defensively stays at the right.
Yeah.
The progression to the fullback right.
If you start with a four and say Trent drifts inside, then you end up with a three. Because a left back will tuck in a little bit, the center back comes in, the other one goes out where Trent is to mark that area. And then as Trent comes inside, then you overload the middle of the park. So you outnumber the opposition in possession. And then when you lose it, then you just shift back into place and then you go back into your four.
How new is this, Jimmy? I mean, this we keep seeing Pep doing it and Klopp this season. Pep started doing it last year, a little bit with Kyle Walker.
Yeah.
Is it that new or is it something that you saw when you were playing fullback?
It's not new. I mean, there's different variations of how you want to do it. Sometimes the other thing that you could do is you would say to Trent, you go high as a right winger. The right winger now comes inside and then he overloads the middle. Mm-hmm. So there's variations of overloading and it's how you want to do it. Right. It's just everybody trying to be clever. You see, like, remember Stones was a center back. A center back steps into the middle of the park and the fullbacks, they tuck in a little bit to create your three or your right back goes in. It's just variations, how you want to do it and how you want to overload certain situations.
There are certain times in this podcast when Wonga's not here that I remember that Wonga's not here. And when I hear Jimmy say overloading, then that's an example of where if Wonga was here, it would have been taken down a very different route. But anyway, back to tactics, strategy and stuff. Looking at the way Trent's playing there right now, Dubs, and looking at the way Phil Foden's playing at Man City, how the hell don't both these players start for England at Euro this summer? They're not traditionally starters under Gareth Southgate, who obviously sticks with who he likes. We understand that. This is prerogative. But they're both playing such great football at the moment. I think you have to find a way, don't you?
Yes, you do. And I mean, Trent, I think you have to look at what he will bring to that squad. So it's not only his attributes like we just discussed, like that own goal, like to get Liverpool on the board in the 80th minute. Like that's just sent in with such precision and force and whip that they can't do anything. It's just put into a dangerous area. Like that's exactly what you want from that type of ball. And I mentioned it on the dark web, but that was Odegaard's foul that he gave away. And he was a petulant baby the entire game. And I like Odegaard, but I didn't have any patience for him at all. But yeah, I think Trent just kind of put the team on his back in the absence of a Virgil, in the absence of a Mo, in the absence of a Robertson, you know, these players who are out that traditionally are providing the leadership to the side. And that's what he's stepped into. Is you have that quality on the deliveries, on the set pieces. Going forward, you know, those long diagonals, like I think Nunez moving to that left, it allowed Trent to stretch Arsenal and to find him with those long diagonals and those long balls. And then Phil Foden, my daughter remarked, we watched the end of that game coming back from the arena, that it looked like he was wearing makeup. And he like rosy cheeked and just fresh faced. But yeah, he's kind of growing on me because I'm with Wonger, where he kind of annoyed me. But I think his versatility in the absence as well of, say, like a Kevin De Bruyne, of an Alvarez, and what he's been able to bring to City in terms of their attack, no matter how he's deployed, I think Southgate has to be taking notice.
Yeah, I mean, imagine, Jimmy, having Trent and Declan Rice deep in that midfield. You've got Jude Bellingham, you've got Foden up there. I mean, ideally you can put 12 players on the pitch at one time. Now, that might not happen in time for Euro, but it's something I'd certainly push because that would really help England right now. How do you not pick these guys?
Well, Sharms, this is how it works. When you're
I'm so glad Jimmy's here.
When you're the manager, right? And it's great watching Trent the way that he's playing, but he's getting success through the structure of the team, the formation, the philosophy, the style of play. Okay, with him coming inside, overloading the middle, drifting out. So he's creating space and finding space for himself. Now, if England under Southgate want to play a solid back four, wing backs bombing on, is Trent going to be as effective as what maybe, say, like a Kyle Walker is going to be? Kyle Walker's maybe better at doing that, getting up and down the line. Trent's better, maybe drifting inside, overloading situations, finding certain spaces. So it all depends on the manager and how he's going to play. And that's who he's going to select, because he's got to find those individuals that's going to suit his philosophy and his style of play. Now, we look at certain teams and yeah, they're getting success. They're playing well. The rotation that they play and their movement interchanging is successful. But if the England team's not playing like that, then it's not going to be effective.
Yeah, but I put Trent in midfield, though. I wouldn't put him right back. I want Kyle Walker as my right back.
Okay, so now you want to have a number six who's going to sit in there, be solid, and break things up.
Besides
Trent, or do you want Declan Rice?
Well, can't they be like a double pivot?
Well, if you're going to play with two controllers, yeah, you could do that. But if you're only going to play with one, then...
But don't you, as a coach, don't you look at your what you have available, and then you dictate your formation accordingly, as opposed to, no, I'm playing 3-5-2, I'm playing 4-4-2. That's what I do.
If you're England, you're playing at home. Do you want to play attacking or do you want to be conservative?
At home, well, attacking, obviously, yeah.
Of course, right. So that's going to dictate who's going to be your holder, and how you're going to play. And now, if you're away, and you're playing against a team that's very attack-minded, then you've got to change now, because you're away. You understand that they're going to have a little bit more possession. And you've got to now figure out, okay, defensively, who do we want in place that's going to be effective for us, where we can control the game? And maybe we're going to wait and hopefully get a counter against these guys and win the game, because we can't play the way that we want to that we do at home. Mm-hmm. So he'll be looking at it thinking, okay, we're at home or we're away, and this is a formation. This is how we're going to play, and these are the players that we need for that match specifically. So the game, whoever you're playing, that the matchup dictates who you're going to bring in.
But a Euro, unless they play Germany, they're going to be away or home. Doesn't matter, right? So it's the opponent in that case, right?
Yes. Then it's all about the opponent.
I don't know. Craig, tell me, how do you get Trent into that 11? Should he be in the 11? Declan Rice. Okay, right now, who's guaranteed to start for England right now? Harry Kane is. Declan Rice is. Jude Bellingham is. Mm-hmm. Those three, guaranteed, if they're healthy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's fair to say.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a way. The way you go with the informed players. I hate these managers that dispute and dismiss form. If Jordan Henderson, who might, by the way, be coming back from Saudi Arabia, gets, you know, into that squad, it's an absolute farce at this point, right?
I guess he's done growing the game in Saudi Arabia, is he?
I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for him. Actually.
I tell you what, it grew awfully fast.
Again, one night we miss you.
His regret grew.
I can imagine his conversation with his agent. He's like, "Oh my god, I don't like it here," and "Oh my god, I'm not settling," and playing in front of 300 people every week.
Imagine, you could hear like the conversations in the crowd, because there's only a couple hundred of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently, they average 8,000 people. But
there'd be a lineup for him, I would think.
You think?
Yeah, he's still a really good player.
MLS.
I mean, the reason he left Liverpool, though, MLS. Is because Klopp said he wasn't, well, yeah, maybe. That Klopp said he wasn't going to get as many minutes, right? He wasn't going to be a defined starter, which right. He wasn't sort of well, towards the end of the season now? Anyway.
Yeah, he's 33, isn't he? 33, I think, around there. I think older he is. Is he older?
Older than that?
Well, let's find out, shall we? Regardless, yeah, he's not. I wouldn't think he's not going to walk into a top contending midfield. We know that, but he's all joking aside. He is a fantastic leader with a great resume, who can still play. We think. I haven't watched too many El Atifat matches this season, so I can't really tell you how good he is. But I'm sure he can still play, and he'd walk into a Premier League team in some capacity. Let's see, Jordan, and I'm going to say
that link with Newcastle.
Oh, that's but he paid for Sunderland though. Do you think he would do that?
He's still Sunderland. He went to Saudi Arabia. He's not going to go to Sunderland, or he's not going to go to Newcastle coming from Sunderland.
That is a good point. He turns 34 in June, so I was bang on. He actually moved. He was born, I think, the day that I moved to Canada, June 17th. That's nice. God, I feel fucking old. There's a player that's over the hill, and he arrived. He was born the day I arrived in Canada.
God damn
Jesus.
It.
How dare you steal your thunder?
But don't you think a team would jump at him? Craig, they'd jump at Jordan Henderson, right?
If he's available? I think so. I just wonder what kind of pay cut he's going to take. And is he might not like Saudi Arabia, but he might not like a pay cut either.
Then stay there.
Unless he's
don't
paid.
Moan about it.
He's getting his full salary. One, having grown the game there, maybe he's getting his full salary. That was the deal. Like, grow the game. When he's fully grown, that's when you get the money. And mission accomplished.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things, like on the back of the comic books that you drop in water and then it grows. What are those things called again?
Oh, yeah.
JC, you know.
The little tablets and you stick them in the water.
Yeah. And they turn into like little animals.
Like a big, like a sponge that turns into a dinosaur kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Don't be a pet.
Careful where you put it.
Yeah.
Don't swallow it.
I don't know. This is like maybe a fixed vehicle rev story.
Maybe that's how I got the gout.
It does sound like there's a story here, doesn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I don't know. I think he'd get an opportunity, but certainly he'd receive it from the away support wherever he goes. But thankfully, there's no more homophobia or, you know, dreadful human rights issues in Saudi Arabia now, because it's fixed. No. It all fixed. Good, good, good. Maystone won, as you mentioned. Sorry?
I said he made a mockery of it.
Yeah, in the end.
He was an ally, stood in solidarity with the LGBTQ community, and then he just pissed all over it.
Don't you? Don't you think he regrets it?
He needs a major PR move
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I asked you guys in the dark web, do you have anything similar? Massive regrets that you wish you could have just turned back the clock? Klopp? Whoa, Freudian slip.
Seriously.
Dub said no.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hope, Jimmy, Craig, surely. I mean, you had lifestyles and lifetimes of regret. What would be the biggest one?
Yeah, lots of regrets, but not clubs.
No,
never signed for anybody I was disappointed with.
You didn't go on loan to Chelsea and go, man, I shouldn't have done that. I hated playing with Viali and Zola.
Yeah, exactly. That was no fun.
Jimmy, regrets?
No regrets. None.
Oh, come on. You're full of shit.
Jimmy. You must have one there and there because you moved around a little bit.
I didn't have any regrets. No, none.
How about Gareth Bale actually being born?
That asshole.
There you go. Being at Southampton when Gareth Bale was at Southampton, that must be a regret.
Well, no, because I didn't really know he was coming through until I got there.
Maybe you should have done any research.
How? He was in the academy. What am I gonna? I'm gonna sign a contract and be like, "Hey, by the way, is there anybody that's coming up here that I should be keeping an eye on?"
Yeah. How many years before I'm replaced?
They had decent players. They had Dyer. Remember who was at Swansea?
Nathan Dyer.
Nathan Dyer.
Good player.
What's his name? Sermon, who was at Bournemouth. Remember, captain. And then they had. Who else was coming through there? Gareth Bale. And then that's when they had like Luke Shaw was before him. They had
Shear.
Oh, they had so many players that were around that time that were coming through the system. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. And it's funny because my teammates that I played at Bristol City, a lot of them are all involved in head of the academy as well there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And one of my old captain, Craig Fleming, he went there at Norwich. He's down there right now. Matty Hill was the – I was with him at Bristol City. He was the academy director.
They're taking care of their alumni, huh?
A lot of guys.
Maybe you should make a phone call.
Mm. I did. They didn't answer.
Were you praying that sermon didn't work out when you were there? That was you, Dubs. Come on. I knew you were,
no,
you
heard, no. You were thinking. I was. I was trying to come up with something.
I know you were.
Yeah.
Okay, elsewhere. So, yeah, we mentioned Maidstone won. That was a nice story. They're the lowest ranked team remaining. Wrexham win again. They like the FA Cup, huh? Into the fourth round. The draw is tonight, isn't it? Hasn't been already, has it? I think it's tonight. Or is it after the... No, it's, wait a minute. Where's the draw?
Who's playing tonight? United plays. United.
Oh,
plays
that's right.
Today.
So it'll be tonight. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's such a great competition. It's just amazing. And I remember when I was playing over there as well and watching the draw, and you were hoping you were getting one of the big clubs. And then
at home.
At home. The celebration was awesome. It was such a special moment. I don't know if you guys saw, there was a team in France that was like the fourth or fifth division, and they got drawn out of their kind of FA Cup, and they got PSG. Mm-hmm. And the celebrations that was happening in that dressing room was off the chart.
That's right. It's a bit like when Marine AFC played Spurs in 2021.
Yeah.
Marine was semi-pro and Spurs came to their ground.
I love those games.
Oh, incredible, right? They lost 5-0, which actually wasn't a bad result, but Mourinho was apparently amazing that day to Marine, and actually found their Portuguese goalkeeper, gave him a Spurs shirt with his name on the back. He gave Neil Young, who is all of Marine's head coach, all his pregame notes and all the research he'd done on Marine. It was just really, really cool. And then Spurs actually invited the whole club to the London Stadium. Previous, what's it called now? The new White Hart Lane, anyway, the year after in the FA Cup as guests. So, yeah, it was really cool. It's lovely. And the atmosphere is incredible, right? The Sunderland-Newcastle game, first time they played in a number of years together in that time weird derby. Newcastle won 3-0, man, but that the energy, Craig, was just fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing. The FA Cup really does have a special place, really, in the footballing world. And sometimes it's not always priority for clubs. I mean, for Arsenal and Liverpool, it's not the priority at the moment. And I think they played a little bit like that too. Got to be honest, a bit pedestrian at times in the first half, I thought. But as the tournament goes on, it becomes a little bit more serious when you get into, you know, the quarterfinals and whatnot. Then they'll start looking at it as an opportunity for a trophy. But that magic of like what Maidstone is doing, what Wrexham is doing. You get a bit of a lucky draw. You can stumble your way into something pretty special, and that's what that whole tournament's all about. I mean, what is there? Something like 760 clubs that started out competing for the FA Cup. It's fascinating. It's brilliant, and they've got to make sure that they protect that competition as they should be protecting it in the United States with that U.S. Open Cup, because that creates the same sort of thing on a smaller level, but in the United States. And it's a very important part of the footballing calendar, I think.
It's horrible, too, when you get the draw, and if you're playing those lower division teams away,
ooh,
they're horrible. You're on that bus thinking, oh, my God, let's not be that team that's getting the upset. We have to win. Because you know when they do win those lower teams, it's all over the papers, it's everywhere, it's celebration time, and you don't want to be that team that just lost to them. It's horrible. Yeah.
We played one year. We had playing against a club called Emory, Midlands club. Never heard of them before. I haven't heard of them since. And luckily, we're playing them at home, but it was close, and the weather was terrible. The wind, it was like just swirling around up in the park. It was pouring and rain. It was like the 3rd or 4th of January. It was miserable as hell. And we just grinded it out. They scored. I think they tied it up. And then I think DeCanio scored late. And it was like, thank God we didn't have to go back to Emory on a cow pasture, because that's what happens, right? You go on these pitches and it's like, Have you had a herd of cattle in here? Oh, yeah. Because they haven't fixed the pitch and everything. The difference really in North America, with if they had this sort of thing in the NHL, if, you know, the Leafs get drawn away to some team in Saskatchewan and they decide not to flood the ice and they leave an inch of snow on it. It's like, okay, there we are. Let's go. You know?
Yeah. And you know what? A lot of people don't realize as well, when you play those lower division teams, right, the pitches are terrible. And I'd say what, Craig, you can allude to this, but maybe 90% of the pitches are on angles. Like yeah. they're never flat. They're mm-hmm. either on a little slope or a little angle going north and south.
Or did you just feel that way? Ever.
No, they literally are.
They actually are.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, I love it. I've always loved the FA Cup. It's always something special. I know there's a lot of people whining about replays and having to replay when you get a draw.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. Not a fan of the replays. Way too many games. Like, what the freaking hell? That's the last thing these guys need is another game on a replay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then it helps financially as well to the other clubs, right? Especially if they do profit share.
True.
Which they do.
Was it Dubs?
That's what the Arsenal-Liverpool game was looking like. It was looking like it was headed to a replay, right? Mm-hmm. But what would you suggest then if you take away the replay? What would you have them do? Just sort of standard extra time and penalty shootout?
I'd go straight to penalties.
Straight to penalties.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the best way to do it, but I think it's under the circumstances with the amount of football that these guys are playing and the competitions that they're playing, I think that that would be the best way to do it. They're doing that in the League Cup now, aren't they, pretty much?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, no extras, just straight to pens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Too much football.
In semifinals, like, what the like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know, because back in the days, I mean, you'd have several replays, you know, on occasion, wouldn't you? It wouldn't be just one.
You would have final replays. They tie
yeah, that's
Wembley,
right.
Wembley, and then, oh, no, we're coming back for another one. 100,000 people.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
What was that? Was it Ukraine that posted, speaking of atmosphere, the basketball game from Europe?
Yeah.
Where was that again? Was it Turkey?
No, I believe it was Serbia, but I'm not 100%.
Serbia, was it? Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Could you imagine like that, how much fun that would be in North America if an NBA game was like that?
Yeah. Yeah, and I got quite a lot of conversation going on our socials, footy mm-hmm. _ prime, and your Twitter account, X, at CraigForest1, because just the experience in North America and how it just isn't the same, right? How it is so consumerized.
Nobody chants. They don't have any chants. They need a big screen to tell them to cheer louder here. It's just they've sold their soul for the money and they've given up the passion for the cash, really. That's what's happening. But it is a shame from a spectacle standpoint. But I was talking to the producer of TSN who's over in Sweden doing the World Juniors, and he said the Swedish crew were asking him about Canadian chants. Like, what were – because there was like 3,000 Canadian fans there in Sweden watching the hockey, and he was like, what are the chants? And he's like, we haven't got any. Go Canada, go!
And let's like, go Canada. Let's
pathetic.
Go.
He's like, yeah, it is pathetic. We have no. There's no chance. Like, how
can
do
you imagine though? Okay, but imagine though, in North American stadiums, if there were chants, you know, and a lot of those chants are pretty blue, right?
Yeah, you're
throwing the odd bad word. Can you imagine that happening in North American stadiums? There'd be an uproar. You'd be kicked out. Can't be doing that. There's children watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chanting the referee. The referee's a cunt.
The referee's a cunt? Is that what you said?
Yeah. That would be often amazing. The referee's a wanker chant. They have that one. So that's not bad.
Yeah.
TFC do a good job with it. So Dubs, you were saying?
I was just going to play devil's advocate for a second and just saying in the absence of the history that we don't have here in North America in terms of sport, where a lot of that culture and that, you know, feeling like you belong and then your allegiance to the badge doesn't really exist, a lot of these franchises feel the need to manufacture it. So mm-hmm. in manufacturing it and telling the fans when to cheer and what to do, mm-hmm. then you're sort of robbing that contingent or those fans from creating something that's original and from them? Would it actually grow and something would come to fruition? I'm not sure, but I think the climate being what it is doesn't give fans a chance to develop something that's uniquely their own.
Yeah, but you think the Montreal Canadiens, the Leafs, these clubs have been around 100 years. You'd think that they would have something. I mean, for 100 years, we're just going go Habs and go Leafs.
Yeah. USA, USA. That's all they got.
I'll say this, though. North American sports will not change, and I suspect European sports will get a lot closer to North American sports, a lot quicker than North American sports getting closer to European sports. I really believe that, right? I mean, the Super League's a prime example of that. That's what they want. They want cost certainty. They want guaranteed, you know, top flight football in this case. So it's only going one direction here. They'd love to have the North American model.
Well, of course, the owners have save their money. It's like guarantee success, guaranteed payments. They don't want that relegation if you're putting billions of dollars into a project.
But are they not talking about it, MLS?
Into what?
About what?
Promotion about relegation?
Eventually? Or having a second division?
No. Don't you remember when Neville was still coaching Miami and it was in a preseason interview last year? He mentioned it and then he very quickly retracted it. Because I'm sure ownership came down really hard on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're in the bottom three as well.
Yeah.
I can see MLS, and
I read this recently. With MLS, I think you'll become in the second division now. And then they wanted to have a possible promotion relegation discussion. I'm almost certain. I have to read
it. I think Don Garber's addressed it before and hasn't 100% discounted it. He likes the conversation to go. You know, talking football is good, right? I think there's a chance at some point, a very good chance, of Liga MX merging with MLS. I really believe one day that will happen. And maybe at that point, you have a two-tier system, perhaps. But I just don't know how you can convince owners who have spent $500 million in franchise fees that you might not be guaranteed top-flight football. I just don't know if they buy into that.
No chance. I bet it's in the contract. When the guy in San Diego paid $350 million, I bet there's something in there. It's like, nothing's happening in the future where I'm going to have a chance to lose this $350 million. And that's primarily, I think, why these fees are so high, too. Because you really are, have got a really good business model. I mean, the MLS business model is actually really quite good, and it's been lucrative for teams that have got in early. They're worth fortunes. They're worth a lot more money than what they paid for them. So,
yeah, well, you look at what TFC is worth right now. But then that's all collaboration and revenue sharing and working together to sell the product.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you had a second division, could you not put it all together into one big pot for you're still getting part of the pie?
But MLS, though, I mean, it's playoffs, right? That's the thing. Mm-hmm. So you could have a much bigger league divided, you know, geographically, and then you'll meet again as they do right now. But you could wrap in Liga MX or wrap MLS into Liga MX and still have the same kind of playoff system without promotion relegation. It just makes sense. I mean, would Liga MX want that? They're doing pretty well, but yeah, of course they bloody would. They'd love that probably more so than MLS, maybe.
Because of the financial upside?
Yeah, financial upside. I mean, listen, this stupid in the League's Cup, this thing that includes Liga MX teams, right? That's kind of the first step, isn't it? I don't think the Liga MX teams liked it at all. I think they hated it.
No, because they're at a clear disadvantage. They're in their preseason. Yeah,
precisely, right?
That's why MLS loves it.
Yeah. It's stupid. But that's the first. They're working together.
Yeah.
What point do those conversations expand?
Mm.
Craig, going back to what you were saying about ownership and like how lucrative franchises now are in terms of their valuations, do you think the mere suggestion of promotion relegation would cause those numbers to plummet in terms of the
I think if there was a risk of somebody losing $350 million, I think that would be a conversation or certainly something people would be worried about before they got into MLS. Imagine your first year, you got an expansion team, you don't put anything particularly great together, you paid $350 million, and next thing you know, you're playing in the USL. Mm. Yeah, so I do think the fees would be different if that was the case. Mm. Yeah.
I don't think you'd end up paying that fee. I think you'd end up paying a fee in the second and third division.
Yeah.
Meaning the MLS Pro and maybe MLS Championship if they had it. And then you'd start there with your fee. And then that fee would go into the pot and everybody get a little piece of it.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. But MLSC, what, they paid $10 million for Toronto SC? So they're doing okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a pretty good business decision, I think, over the last, what is it, 17 years?
Yeah.
17 years. Jesus Christ.
Been a bit quiet, wow. TFC, in terms of player movement, whereas
very
the
quiet.
Timbers has turned into another Port Lanada, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, James Pantemis.
Mm-hmm. Pantemis mm-hmm. signed there, and then almost and immediately after that was announced, Max Crepeau was announced.
It's so weird, isn't
rumored.
It?
Has it been officially announced yet?
I don't know if it's official yet. Mm-hmm. And they signed another keeper as well.
If it was official, too. I don't know if it's official yet either, but... Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and Kamal's there too.
Yeah, after making history in Miami, apparently.
they won a trophy. If you want to call that a trophy. That weird thing. Yeah.
Don't get him started. Don't poke the bear.
Yeah, exactly.
He's been relatively quiet talking about the League's Cup. Don't do it again.
But I mean, if Max goes to Portland, right? He's number one. And Dubs, you know, you watch Pantemis closely. He's a good goalkeeper who just got derailed through injury.
Yeah, he started that opening game in Miami last season and then blew his shoulder up. And then Sirwa had an outstanding season. So I get Pantemis wanting to have a clean slate somewhere, a brand new start, a chance at number one. But I feel like somehow he got fucked over. It can't be the deal that he's just wanting a change of scenery to be number two on the West Coast, right? It doesn't make any sense.
Speaking of fucked over, the Max Crepeau situation
about Max, being
screwed over as well.
Right.
By all accounts, it happened.
He's set to sign, so it's not confirmed yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not confirmed
and is
that he's there.
So is it Lloris who comes over? They sign him, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then the article that I read said that Max is making, I think, $375,000. And they just flat out, this is prior to Lloris coming over, they just didn't want to give him any more. Like, how do you not want to give him a raise? I don't get that angle at all.
I don't either. It's very bizarre to me.
Because, like, I forget who said it now. They're just trashing goalkeepers, basically. But they're saying, you know, it's harder. Oh, Wonga, of course it was. It's harder to market a goalkeeper. So you bring in Hugo Lloris, who's a well-known goalkeeper. He's a World Cup winner. In his day, a world-class goalkeeper. I don't know how much of the needle that moves, especially at this point in his career. You're better off with a younger guy, I would think. But who knows what's happening behind the scenes.
You're better off winning trophies, and that's what they've been doing, and competing for trophies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To change it.
Another final, the one the year before. I don't think goalkeeping was the issue, but who knows what the deal is. I mean, maybe Max didn't. I don't know. I mean, I haven't spoken to him. Maybe he's looking for a fresh start somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. But he's proven himself, right? Like, I mean, he not only has proven himself in terms of sustained performances and being one of the best goalkeepers in MLS, but the return from injury and returning to that same level. And he doesn't get rewarded.
Yeah.
I feel for him.
I mean, the reason why they were in the final was because of Max. He played three outstanding games leading into that final.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, sorry, Max. We got Hugo
tough business.
Coming in.
It's a tough business. Oh, boy. Listen, they're almost out of time. Sam Kerr out. ACL.
Oh, no.
The latest.
A disaster.
Jesus Christ. It is an epidemic. I mean, we said it before on the show. But, I mean, she's probably the most, which is English, which does, right or wrong, make a big difference, right? In that,
did you say she's English?
Sorry.
Yeah, you did. You did.
You know what? It's Sam Kerr or Lauren James. Why am I getting them both mixed up? I saw it this morning.
No, it's Sam, Kerr.
Sam Kerr. Fucking hell. In my head, she was Lauren James.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my God, that's really bad. I apologize.
It is.
That's Bush.
Can you win the title without her? Yeah.
Can
win
Bush.
The title without her, Amy?
Bush.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, she's very much, I mean, as deep as that squad is, and, you know, they can rely on other goal scorers, she's the one who comes up big for them time and time again.
She's the killer.
It's going to be really difficult. And that means she misses the Olympics as well for Australia.
Oh, right. And she missed the World Cup pretty much. I mean,
yeah. She had that one worldie where she against England in a losing effort. But you have to wonder how much that calf injury played in the ACL going. I mean, it's all speculation, right? But like muscle weakness around the knee and, you know, muscular imbalances. And then the stress goes to the ACL as that decel and you're cutting and all that sort of stuff. I mean, so many factors, right? But still, you wonder. Tough year for her, though, for sure.
Forrest, when you say killer, she will be the coach killer now, because if they don't get results, he's out.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, she's already preemptively out.
Yeah,
that's true.
Is that why you're saying it?
That's true. She is.
Emma Hayes is leaving to coach the U.S. women's national team.
Boo.
What about Lauren James?
Hey.
I like her. James, though. I mean, that would be really bad, wouldn't it, if it was her?
Yeah. Really, you're trying to make yourself feel better here.
I actually put that on the dark web last night. I actually mentioned that exact same comment and no one corrected me. What's wrong with you?
You didn't say anything about Lauren James.
Didn't I?
You wrote her name as Sam Carey in Slack, and that was very hard for me to not say probably. Anything.
that's autocorrect, but I definitely mentioned she was English, didn't I, in the dark web? I know she's not English. Sometimes I question my brain.
Maybe you just thought anyway. You're just, I don't know.
Just say you fuck up and let's move on.
I have said that. All right, let's move on then. Let's move on.
For our time anyway. Zdorsky to the Hammers?
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
That's a good move for her because she's got to get some playing time. She wasn't getting all that much at Spurs, was she? So
yeah. No, she wasn't. I'm not sure what happened there, but she's reunited with Rhianne Skinner, who used to coach the Spurs. So it's a good move for her. And they Spurs?
Spurs? Spurs.
Spurs.
Yeah. The Spurs. Spurs.
The Spurs. And they signed Katrina Gorey, and they also signed Christy Mewis. Speaking of Sam Kerr.
No Lauren James?
Still at Chelsea.
Okay. Just checking. Checking you. Make sure you know your women's soccer there, Dubs. Prem's back this weekend, but it's one of those, it's kind of getting crazy, right? It's the whole new format where they rest, teams get a week off. So there's fewer games. Some teams just play a couple of games in January. So I think there's just like there's five matches this weekend. Just the five. But Man United, Spurs, Everton, Villa, they're the Sunday games. So some pretty good games. And Saturday, Chelsea, Fulham, Newcastle, City, Man City. So juicy ones, which you can catch on FuboTV.com and subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime and sprinkle some money on TonyBet.ca. Why don't you? Why don't you? It's easy to win on TonyBet.ca, as we can prove. $88 in the bank. We're at over $600 now in our
Come on.
Yep. We're
100%. Amazing.
It is amazing.
Bet it all. Let's bet it all.
I think at this point we should.
No.
Responsible gambling.
Yeah, hold don't on. Listen to Jimmy.
What was the team? What was your team again? Maidstone?
Maidstone.
Why don't we just put it all on Maidstone to win the whole FA Cup?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's got to pay out pretty decent.
You make a lot of money. So you know what? Let's do it.
Do you have the stones to do it?
$621 on Maidstone to win the FA Cup.
Let's do it.
You might as well just take that money and just light it on fire right now.
Seriously. Yep.
Well, listen, no thanks to the supporters. Someone's got to try and earn some money for Craig's computer, right? Okay.
When is the
consistently winning?
What's that, Craig?
Is the FA Cup draw today?
I think it is. I think it's after today's the United game tonight.
Right. See, Maidstone, they'll be hoping for a home draw against Liverpool.
Yeah.
That's what they'll be hoping for now. They don't want to wreck some or anything like that. Even though they have a chance to potentially go through to the next round, that's not really what they want.
Well, Wrexham want a big one as well, just for the documentary next year. Imagine that they get joined against United or Liverpool or something. Amazing.
Birmingham have a new coach. They brought in Tony Mowbray after Rooney's taken them from 6th to 20th.
Do you think he gets another shot somewhere? Do you think Rooney gets another job? I bet he does.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
Well, you have to get more than 15 games. What do you got, 15 games there?
Yeah, and not one transfer window. I mean, listen, it was terrible, but I have got a little bit of sympathy for him. It was the ownership were idiots for firing John Eustace with them in the playoff spot. And they were, by all counts, overperforming massively. No one expected them to be where they were in the table.
Mm-hmm.
So all the more reason not to fire the manager. But then you see Rooney, it comes back to where perhaps they thought they might be. Maybe not quite that bad, but anyway, we'll see.
I hope they get relegated. Tom Brady.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Fucking idiots.
What a mess. Football. Running football clubs is easy, guys. It's easy. Just buy one. You can win. Look at Ryan Reynolds. All right. That's it. We're out of time. Anything else you want to get to?
No, I didn't know Jimmy was an Arsenal fan. Looks like you're wearing the same kit they wore yesterday, Jimmy.
My white T-shirt?
Mm-hmm.
Turn around. Can we see your number?
White on white.
Got my name on the back.
Mm-hmm. All right. Till next time. We'll be back on Wednesday, I guess, right? Sound good?
Yep.
Yeah? Sounds Wednesday? Footy Prime the podcast? TonyBet.ca? Fubo TV?
Two in a row, Jimmy?
Oh, my God. I have a week off. Hey, had a little bit of time off over the holidays.
Isn't that good to see you, Jimmy.
I know.
It's been your name? Should we call you Jim now? Or James?
It's not so much that you missed the time. It was that you told us you'd be on the podcast. You told us you'd be on the podcast. That's the problem.
Right? I know.
You know. The night before. Oh, yeah. Great. 9 o'clock. Oh, yeah, be right there.
There's been like 3 holidays and a birthday since we saw you last.
Seriously.
All right, everyone. That's Footy Prime.
Hold on. Hold on, one thing. Whoa. This might be worth it. If we were to put $621 on Maidstone to win the whole thing, $1.553 million.
Do it.
All right.
Let's do it.
And that has been played.
Do you think if they win the next 2 rounds and get into like the quarterfinals, they'll offer us a cash out of like $500,000? Probably.
Maybe.
That probably.
Amazing.
We'll take that, right?
Yeah, that's a good investment.
All right. Follow Footy Prime for all your betting advice. Till next time, cheers for listening and keep buying newspapers.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bet. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG.
Excuse me.
That was you, wasn't it?
No. I got a text message. Right now.
What was that sound again for us?
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Hey, Craig, is your computer still in its box on Wonga's doorstep?
I suppose.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.